Influential people with a stake in those controversial corporate tax reduction strategies called inversions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We've been reporting on merger talks between Burger King of the U.S. and Tim Hortons of Canada. As it happens, Burger King would move its tax headquarters to Canada to save American tax. And today there's news that famed investor Warren Buffett is applying about a quarter of the financing for that Burger King deal. Now, this implies that Buffett is helping to fund a deal that some Republicans and Democrats would regard as a legal but highly controversial tax dodge. And some top Republicans also have a stake in these so-called tax inversion maneuvers. Bloomberg News reporter Richard Rubin has been doing some digging. Mr. Rubin, good morning.
Good morning.
Some Democrats and Republicans have been angered by these inversion deals, but what did you find when it comes to two of the most powerful people when it comes to tax policy in the U.S.?
Well, what I found is that John Boehner, the House Speaker, and Dave Camp, the Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, both made profits off one of these deals. The Medtronic purchase of Covidien, which is an Irish company, sent Covidien's stock price jumping in June. Camp and Boehner both sold their shares within 9 days after the deal was announced, and both still hold shares of Medtronic, giving them an interest in seeing that deal to completion, which would be undone or penalized by the legislation that Democrats and the president are proposing.
And Speaker Boehner and Congressman Camp have not been champions of those reforms.
No, their approach has really been to say, look, let's focus on comprehensive tax reform. Let's be wary of doing this as a one-shot kind of bill. They recognize there's a problem with the tax code. Their proposed solution is a lot farther out in the future than the administration's approach. And I should add that both Boehner and Camp say that they had no personal involvement in these trades. They have investment advisors who they essentially delegate to and say, make smart decisions for me. So it's not that they were market timing and looking for opportunities in inversion deals, according to their spokespeople, but they certainly have an interest in both of these companies.
Bloomberg News reporter Richard Rubin, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Now, back in May, the biggest of inversion deals came up short. U.S. pharma giant Pfizer tried and failed to buy the British drugs company AstraZeneca. Under U.K. rules, Pfizer could not try again for 3 months, meaning Pfizer is free to try again starting today. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman drills down on the overseas profits Pfizer wanted to keep away from the U.S. Treasury.
If Pfizer buys another pharmaceutical company, say in England or Ireland, and becomes foreign-based, it can bring home as much as $30 billion in international profits without having to pay the 35% U.S. corporate tax rate, says Martin Sullivan at TaxAnalysts.com.
Part of the allure is to get into lower tax countries like U.K. with 21% and Ireland with 12.5%.
Some estimate that major American companies, including GE, Johnson & Johnson, and Apple, have nearly $2 trillion parked outside the U.S. They use it to buy foreign companies and factories, or it just sits in the bank, says Brad McMillan at Commonwealth Financial.
You can make an argument that shareholders would be better off if the money was brought home, taxes were paid, and it was distributed or, you know, put to use in the business.
Companies could pay higher dividends or build new factories here. But McMillan says that's unlikely until U.S. corporate tax rates come down. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
When it comes to the so-called sharing economy or peer-to-peer economy, there's controversy about whether the likes of Airbnb or Uber violate local regulations. But how have these new business models changed the world of insurance? Sally Herships has our story.
Sharing sounds so utopian, but the industry has a dark side, and its name is insurance.
Probably one of the hardest things we had to do in order to start our company was to get the insurance.
Seth Peterson is CEO of AllYouCanArcade.com, an arcade game rental business. He says he called 100 insurance agents before he found one willing to work with him.
Eventually, what I did was I started to get my insurance license because I thought if no one is going to underwrite this, I'll underwrite this myself.
The brokers he talked to were okay with the arcade game part of his business.
And then we'd say, well, actually, though, we have these independent contractors who work for us who fill demand across the entire United States. And that was the point where they just freaked out.
Do you remember the first time a sharing company came to you and requested insurance?
I do, actually. I literally looked at him and I started laughing. I was like, no one's going to insure this.
Ashley Hunter is with HM Risk Group, a broker specializing in risky markets like the client she's talking about, a car sharing service. She says traditionally, if you have a car, you're the driver. But with the sharing industry,
there's too many variables. I don't know who's using the vehicles. I don't know when these cars are going to be used. What happens if someone is sharing the car and then it gets stolen? Who's responsible?
Hunter says she gave that company coverage, but calculating rates can be complicated. Ted Devine is CEO of Insurion, an online broker that specializes in small businesses, many of which share.
You're an independent programmer. You run into your Uber car. You forget your laptop.
Devine says if you work for a big company and lose your laptop, everyone could get sued. He says the category of risk dealing with cyber data.
The sharing economy puts that on steroids.
Sharing sounds so good.
Christy Alderman is vice president for Chubb Personal Insurance.
Our parents taught us to share when we were toddlers, right? But in this case, sharing has some challenges.
Alderman says for consumers, too, if you want to pay to share, beware. Read your insurance policy. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And Amazon is spending $970 million to buy Twitch, an internet TV channel that covers video game competitions. Does anybody watch that stuff? Oh, yeah. Last fall, during the League of Legends computer game championships, 32 million people watched. The Wall Street Journal did the math. 32 million is more than everybody who watched the final episodes of Breaking Bad, 24, and The Sopranos combined. Video game channels. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.